Big thanks to Lisa Ann for coming out here and hanging out with us for a couple of segments. Those of you going to the Fantasy Football Forum tonight at Treasures will get to see her live and in person, and you got a little taste of the fantasy advice, and she's going to be doing that at 4 o'clock on Fridays throughout the year, as she has done the last 2 years. At 4:20 on Fridays, we are always pleased to be joined by our good friend who's brought to you by hornsolutions.net, John McClain, the general, joining us, typing a one-finger article or something over there. John's got his posse, as you can hear in the background. Hi, John.
Just trying to retweet, and my fingers are shaking too much to hit the damn retweet button.
These are frustrating days for you, John, I know.
Well, I'm like this.
Yeah.
Well, probably need a beer. I already had a beer.
First and foremost, how are you feeling?
I'm fine. Everybody's taking great care of me. I wrote a column for tomorrow. Wasn't very good. Just so frustrating typing with one finger.
Yeah.
I know people went through their whole careers typing with one finger. And I do not know how they do it. After the game, I got something really easy because of the deadline. Five things we learned in the game about the Texans, and that's easy. And Reed Lamance, our sports editor, has been incredible working with me.
Yeah.
We got Aaron Wilson, Dale Robertson, Brian Smith, Jerome Solomon, Jenny Dow Creech. We got a lot of people working on Texan stuff.
John, is there no voice technology you can use to avoid typing with one hand?
Rich, if I was dictating something to you, it wouldn't be a problem at all. Yeah, because if a couple words were out of whack, I wouldn't give it a second thought. And I did that originally when I had something due and for the start of the training camp, and I got a great app. It's really good. I started dictating a story.
Right.
And then when I transferred it over to edit it, I ended up rewriting all of it with my finger because saying it and writing it for the Chronicle are different than just us talking.
Very you have to write to know how different
things
are.
I go like, period, paragraph. Well, instead of putting a period, paragraph, end quote, spell out period, paragraph,
yeah, there's that
end
too.
Quote. So I should have gotten better at it, but I didn't because I knew I was just it's just easier. It's frustrating, but it's just easier because that's how I text.
I know. I understand.
I text with one finger, so I'm just texting longer.
Well, yeah. I can understand how the computer might write growing when you were trying to, you know, take note of someone's groin injury.
I have to be very careful before I send something, but it's coming along. I went to the doctor, said hopefully 2 more weeks of this, and now I'll have 2 hands to type, and I can drive again, and I can't wait to sleep in a bed.
Will you be off the pup list in time for the
regular
season?
Well, technically, I'm off the pup list. Unlike Deontay Foreman, I'm working.
Yeah, he's covering practice.
Well, he's, you know, I say that he's working out like crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't think Deontay will be ready for the season, but he'll be on it longer than I am.
Were you there? I'm sure you were for a couple of days ago when O'Brien was asked about running backs, and we had the audio where he emphasized the word availability. Was there a message in there for Deontay Foreman?
I don't think when you're coming off Achilles tendon, I don't think it was meant for Deontay Foreman. They know he had a bad injury. They know he's working hard, but you know, today if you want to send a message to players. In the old days, they'd put it in the paper or on the radio. Now you better send it, put it on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
Yeah. So were you able to make it out to the practices with the
49ers? Oh,
yeah. So let's start there. What did you see from – let's start with J.J. Watt because I feel like that's been the biggest storyline coming out of those two practices. The J.J. Watt that you saw – I know the J.J. Watt that I saw. I'm curious, the one that you saw sure did look a lot like the old pre-injury J.J. Watt. Would
tell.
You agree?
If you said, okay, after practice, which guy has had back surgery and broken leg surgery the last 2 years and has been limited to, let's see, 5 games last year to, what, 3 the year before?
Yep.
You would not have picked him because he kicked some serious butt. And for tomorrow, I said, look, put him on ice, thaw him out for New England. You don't need to see anything else. And I don't think we'll see him. He looked tremendous.
Yeah.
And I would and since that, I've been telling people, oh, yeah, you know, don't count him out for making a run at Defensive Player of the Year, the fourth one. But after seeing that, I believe it.
You feel stronger about it
now
than you did before.
I do. Talking to the 49ers people, they were impressed.
Yeah.
Think we'll see more than one series from Watson?
Probably not. Bill said about like the other day, I think it'll be more than 4 plays. I think Rich, if they go down the field and score, that's it. If they say they only have a few plays and say the 49ers control the ball, then I think he'll come back. But some of the starters, like the offensive line, they need to play. Watts needs to play a little bit. Most of them, you know, we don't need to see them.
Right.
I liked it last week getting to see, you know, what Brandon Whedon can do, because nobody had any confidence in him outside of their facility. And he was, according to Pro Football Focus, second highest rated quarterback from the pocket. And that's because he got rid of the ball quick and had a clean pocket, because the line, the starting line, did pretty darn well. Seeing Jordan Akins, I want to see Jordan Thomas. I want to see, now that Pope, Troy Mayne Pope, has showed us he can catch, let's see if he can run, because they need some backs.
Yep. Yeah.
Foreman goes on PUP. He's out for 6 weeks. They've got to have a back besides Miller and Blue, and I'm guessing right now it's going to be Pope.
Are we overreacting to our first glimpse at Duke Ejiofor as an edge rusher, or could he wind up being a real find in the sixth round?
Well, Ridge, we thought he was a find in the sixth round because teams shied away from his labrum surgery. And after the surgery I had, which is replacement surgery, I will never have anything but sympathy for players with shoulder injuries. I've had a couple of separations when I was young. That ain't nothing compared to this. And your labrum is the most serious. And I had part of my rotator taken out. They took all kind of things from me, out of my shoulder down to my elbow. I can't even remember. But watching him come back, and the doctors told him he'll be ready, and he was, for camp. And all of the damage he did was when he was down rushing as an end, mm-hmm. when he rushed like he did from college. Now, they're making the transition, 6'4", 275. That's a 4'3 defensive end, 3'4 outside linebacker. That is the hardest adjustment. But if he keeps it up and he's not just an August All-Star, then he could put some pressure on Brandon Scarlett.
Of course.
And he might be able to get in on some pass rush. What I like, he kept doing the bull rush.
Yeah.
Spin move. He needs, and he may have some more, but I thought, I'm thinking, was there anybody else more impressive on defense? Oh, Dylan Cole, who Pro Football Focus yeah. had as a top-rated linebacker in the NFL.
Yeah.
And Cunningham looked good, too. But,
yep.
But
Duke Ejiofor had head fakes like a point guard.
You could. We shouldn't be surprised at Cole or Cunningham, but yep. Ejiofor, oh, yeah. His parents and his family, they must be ecstatic to see their kid come home and play like that.
Yeah, that's the big one for me. I want to, you know, if there's one thing, and I know, Rich, you said it at the back in the 2 o'clock hour, like if there's one checklist item for me, I just want to know that what we saw from Duke Ejiofor is the real thing. Right. I would trade 5 guys at the end of the roster to get another pass rusher out there.
Well, he needs to do it again.
Yep, he does. He does. He absolutely
and it's no
does.
Secret now, yeah. but remember, he he started, yeah. and that's good. So I'm sure he'll start again and go against their starters, and that's great for him.
I was interested, John, in that first game, just at a couple of the guys who didn't get any of the playing time, because unless you're injured, if you're not getting any playing time, that says to me that the coaching staff feels like we know everything we need to know about this guy. Will Fuller, I think Will Fuller's a guy you also don't want to risk injury with. But how about DJ Reader now being a guy who's in that bubble wrap club in the first week of the preseason?
Well, because he is Watt's bodyguard, it looks like.
yeah.
Those two are now joined at
best
the
friend.
Hip. And so JJ must have said, I need DJ on the sideline with me, helping me cheer.
Keep all the chicks away.
I think Reader, because, and something I'm fascinated about here, if Clowney is an outside linebacker, and there's no doubt in my mind he'll be there for New England, but if he's an outside linebacker, who plays right in? Brandon Dunn, does he play nose and Reader move to right in as they
right.
did over the second half of the season? Does somebody like Christian Covington play so well he's got to start and keep DJ on the nose? Joel Heath, who started 8 or 9 games, we haven't heard from Joel. He's hurt. I don't even know if he's back, but he's missed a lot of time.
Yeah.
And with the improvement, if they keep 6 linemen, they got some really, really hard decisions to make. I'm thinking right now the defensive line is going to have tougher decisions to make if they only keep 6.
I'm assuming Rose is going to do all the kicking tomorrow night, right? Is he an insurance policy more than actual competition for Fairbairn?
No, there's no Fairbairn got hurt,
right?
And I don't know if it's I don't even know what the injury is, but that's why they brought him in. And of course, why would a guy sign here? Opportunity. You know, what if he kicks a couple 50-yard field goals and all of his extra points go out of the end zone? Then he'll be on tape, and that'll help him the next time a team needs a kicker.
He was a little shaky up in West Virginia.
He was.
A little bit. I mean, we've talked about it already. I was surprised that there wasn't a second kicker already.
I was surprised, too. If you're going to bring in somebody for Leckler, and I understand that, Trevor Daniels, because, you know, Shane's 52 years old, so they need somebody to take the weight off of his leg, so to speak.
Did you say 52?
I would have had. Didn't he just turn 52, or is it 53? And
come on,
so, and I think Fairbairn should add some competition.
He's what, like 42?
Fairbairn?
No.
Oh, Shane. Did he turn? His birthday's in August. I think he just turned 42.
How many beers have you had, John?
He's older. He's older than Brady.
That's all right, Sean. When we said goodnight last night, you said I'll see you tomorrow, and I said tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you went, yeah, little Woodrow's.
Yeah.
I was in Friday night mode last night.
Yeah.
I thought today was Saturday.
It felt like a Friday night. It was fun. Yes. We had a good time out there for sure. John McClain is with us for his weekly visit. A lot of stuff to get into. College football season is almost here. And the start of college football here in Houston, of course, is the Advocare Texas kickoff, which is coming up on September 1st. It's an early start. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff between the Texas Tech Red Raiders and the Ole Miss Rebels at NRG Stadium. Listen next week at 12:20 during In the Loop, and you'll get your chance to win tickets to watch the game, kick off the college football season in person. And if you're not one of the lucky winners, just know that limited seats do remain. You can go to AdvocareTexasKickoff.com to buy them. This is your home for all things football. Houston sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
I will be at that game. I'm excited to see it. I'll be there as part of the Gridiron Legends, welcoming the new class, including Gary Kubiak and Wes Welker, Aloys Blackfield, Raymond Claiborne, 15 years with the Patriots, Longhorn, great. It's always a great weekend, as is the bowl weekend. And there, Kubiak gets to come down because the Broncos aren't doing anything. So I'm really, as humble as Gary is, watching him when I was there for the Texas Sports Hall of Fame induction, he's so humble. And but I know people are really happy that he'll be a Gridiron Legend.
As long as we're talking about the bowl game, and, of course, it's put on by the folks over at Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, affiliated, of course, with the Texans. Did you hear our good news this morning?
What's that?
We've announced a 10-year extension.
Oh, I did. I read David Barron's story.
In our partnership with the Texans.
Yeah, congratulations.
We couldn't be more happy about that. The first quarter century plus of the Texans will have been heard exclusively on Sports Radio 610. And you know the humble origins of this station as a sports station in the mid-90s. We've come a long way.
And I told this story before, but Dickie Rosenfeld, the legend of KILT, tried to hire me from KTRH once, and I didn't because KTRH was still going strong with sports. You know, a lot of people don't know KTRH used to be the sports voice of the Southwest with Jerry Trupiano, and then later Moose tried to hire me. And so that was at right when the Texans had gotten a franchise but wouldn't be playing for like 2 years. So KTRH at the time was moving us around all the time because they just had to deal with Astros. And so I went to Bob McNair and I told him, I said, I've been at KTRH like since 1976, regular show since 85, but KILT, and you were there, right, at KILT? Then,
and starting in 95, yeah.
Okay, so you were already there. And I said, they're offering me a job, and I'm wondering if you will tell me which station you're leaning toward. Of course, Jamie Roots was doing the negotiations. Well, he wouldn't tell me. And I said, well, then let me – he said, I can't say. I said, well, then let me ask you this. I said, if I left KTRH and went to KILT because I wanted to be on the – Texans
flagship. Yep.
Would I be making a mistake? And he goes, well, yeah, I can't really say for you, but if it was me, I think I would go ahead and make that move. So I called Moose and came over, and lo and behold,
it's a great story.
Jamie
Shocker.
Negotiated a deal to come to KILT, and I'm still here.
Yep,
very nice. And John, the thing you said about KTRH, just to put that in perspective for people who don't realize how big they were in sports talk in this town. At one point when I was there in the very early 90s, less than a calendar year, but it happened, we had the Oilers, the Rockets, and the Astros all 740 was the flagship for all of them simultaneously.
And at 50,000-watt station and time broadcast them everywhere. And then Rockets bail. They were the first one to take off.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, wow.
So anyway, enough for Houston sports radio history. But we tell you all this to say that we couldn't be more happy about our 10-year extension announced today with the Texans.
It is.
The thing
it's
I'm
great.
Most fascinated by is what the change in technology is going to be between now and then.
It's been a lot
in the
last 10 years.
We're all going to be listening to it like on a chip in our head by 2027. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, when I go to New England for that first game, I may call Jerry Trupiano and get together with him.
That's a great idea.
Yeah,
Troop's a great guy.
Absolutely.
For those of you who really don't like me, blame him. He hired me.
Who gave you your first gig, John?
Jerry Trupiano.
Troop
so both
as well.
Of you.
1976 on my first road trip for the Arrows, in which he asked me, what do you think about your first trip to La Coliseum? And I told him, I've never been on radio. He said, well, I'll ask you questions. I said, don't ask me anything about hockey. He said, why? I said, I don't know anything about it. How'd you get the job? I'll tell you after the game. He said, okay, I'll just talk to you about other stuff. So I'm sitting there looking around, and I got the microphone in front of me, and all the women were wearing these tight red sweaters, and they were usherettes, and they kept their hands behind their, you know, their back, and so they had little Jackie Kennedy red pillbox hats and these real tight red skirts. And I hear him go, well, what do you think about your first trip to the Coliseum? And I'm looking around. I said, I can't believe all the women got such big bleeps.
And I hear boobs.
No.
Yeah,
and I
breasts.
Hear he goes, well, you can take the boy out of Waco, but you can't take Waco out of the boy.
Yeah.
We're going to go to a commercial, and I'll get to the bottom of this, and hopefully the FCC will let us come back.
Yeah.
He goes, you can't talk like that on the radio. I said, I didn't know we were on the radio. He said, what do you think I put that mic there? I said, well, where's my headset? You don't get a headset. I'm dealing with the people back at the station. He said, you think you can come back on and not talk like that? I said, well, of course I can. So I've been careful. That was in October of 76, and I thought I would never be on radio again.
That's
but
funny.
Stuck by me.
And
that's
here
funny.
You are on your 50,000th hour of radio.
Right. Took a chance on me
when
in
Lisa
87.
When Lisa Ann walked out, I started thinking about that night.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So, John, just to pay off on what I teased, and I know we want to talk a little bit about what we've seen with the Browns on HBO. If you're a Raider fan, how concerned are you about not just the fact that Khalil Mack isn't there, but the fact that there are articles about trade destinations for him that are being taken seriously?
There's odds out there on teams that will get
him. Yeah, yeah.
People think that there's a rule that if you give guaranteed money and what they don't get right away, which is most of it, you have to fund it in escrow the next year. And he's put out $55 million in guaranteed. That they're looking at that and saying Mark Davis doesn't have the money. What I'm hearing is he's got the money, but the agents are just asking for total guarantees in the first, like, 3 years, and they're asking both of their clients, Aaron Donald and him. Now, he makes, like, $12 or $13 million this
right.
year.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Donald is not. You know, he was not a top three pick. And so you can do anything you want at this time of year. I thought for sure Dwayne Brown would come back last year. He didn't. But that's rare now. And so I'm thinking Khalil Mack will show up at the end, and he'll come back and play and hope they get it worked out. I saw a thing, and this just blows my mind, that if Khalil Mack's contract is in Nevada instead of California, it will save him $2.1 million a year.
State you know, income
based
tax.
On what he's projected to get because of taxes. Can you imagine that? All of a sudden, you get another $2.5 million because of taxes, so that move to L.A., to Vegas, has something to do with his negotiation.
Okay, so maybe he may be better off pushing some of that money into the future.
He would be much better off to do anything he can to not be paid while he's in California.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. All right, so Hard Knocks. In Cleveland, John, I feel like maybe the biggest shadow hanging over this team right now is the guy we haven't seen on Hard Knocks yet, somebody who you've obviously followed since his college days and probably here in Houston with Josh Gordon. What do you think of the latest with Josh Gordon?
Well, I think that if Josh Gordon comes back, he'll start with Jarvis Landry. If Dez Bryant's there, how's he going to react to not starting? What if Antonio Callaway, who made a couple of big plays in that first game after getting busted, what if he's the third receiver? How's Dez Bryant going to react to being fourth? He going to cause problems behind the scenes? Yeah, because that's who he is. So they want him. I don't know why he's been messing around. You know, he acts like he's got all these teams interested in him. I can't wait eventually if they see Josh Gordon. It's just strange what's going on with him to not be suspended. And I was really disappointed in this week's episode when they did not show the screaming match between Greg Williams and Todd Haley, where they were just going F-bombing each other across the line of scrimmage. It happened in a practice, and I don't know if it was quick enough to get on, or maybe it'll be this week, but somebody knocked somebody into the quarterback and he went down. It was Drew Stanton.
Right.
So Haley, who's a loudmouth, just like Greg, Haley yells out about knocking the quarterback down. Greg goes, "Why don't you bleeping block somebody then?" And they start screaming at each other across the deal, and maybe that'll be this week. The thing that stands out to me about this, every time I watch Hugh Jackson, who everybody says is a great guy, I think of assistant coach, not head coach.
Yeah, exactly.
He just doesn't impress me as a head coach. The players don't seem like they're real disciplined, like they're not paying attention. And
right.
when Tyrod Taylor has to give him an idea to help, somebody wrote, maybe Taylor needs to be coaching this team. But I think right now Haley and Greg Williams are competing to see who gets to be interim coach.
That's what I was just going to say, John. Haley and Greg Williams are in a heated competition to be interim head coach when they're like 0-4 or 1-5, something like that. Hugh Jackson's getting some grief from episode 2, and I think rightly so, for when, and by the way, in an aside, has there ever been a Baylor grad you've been less enthusiastic that was a Baylor grad than Corey Coleman?
Well, Corey Coleman was a huge bust.
Well, total bust. But when Corey Coleman bursts into his office and asks why he's running second team, and the first words out of Hugh Jackson's mouth are, "Go ask Todd." Go ask Todd? Are you
kidding
me?
Isn't that embarrassing?
That is embarrassing.
I think that also Hugh Jackson said, "What, you want to be on the third team?"
Yes. Yeah, that's what I said to Rich off the air the other day. Why am I on the second team?
Well, Baylor receivers have been huge busts. And Terrence Williams has started as number two, best one in Dallas. But by and large, they've all been busts.
Yeah.
Who played for Art Briles.
Because they were system guys, you think?
System
John?
Guys who didn't have a lot to read. And they say when they get to the NFL and you got to read and you got to make adjustments based on coverage and you got really tough players going against you, you know, they can't adjust, and they've all bombed out other than Terrence Williams. And then the flakiest of all, Josh Gordon's been the best by far.
Yeah.
And I don't know, can't figure out why. Think about how good Josh Gordon would be if he didn't have all those drug problems.
Oh my gosh.
He was incredible the one year we got to see him.
But he has said he's never played a game or he wasn't on something, so it begs the question, how much did that have to do with how incredible he was?
Well, if that helped make him incredible, you'd think more guys would be doing it.
Well, I'm not so
because he's been stupendous.
Sure.
The Texans worked him out one time in the bubble, and his agent at the time, Jeff Nally, brought him out. So
when was this, John?
Talk to him. I can't remember.
But it was before he was
I can't remember. It was before he was drafted. Remember, he was supplemental
draft, yeah.
And he was so nice, and he just couldn't have been more polite. And the Cleveland people say that. Oh, yeah, everybody likes Josh. They've lost respect at the fact that he can't control it, but then everybody's pulling for the kid to come back, and I hope he does because he looked pretty darn good last year.
Well, now he's got warrants out. He's got child support issues. Like, it's, you know.
Based on his $800,000 salary, he's still like a two-year veteran.
Because he's not going to be a free agent until 2020.
Missed so many seasons.
It's incredible. God, it's incredible. All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.